Do not worry. I love feedback. I recently gave two talks in the Diocese of Washington, D.C., and that is a wonderfully diverse diocese. I loved it, and I got lots of feedback, and I just really was wonderful to have that back and forth, so feel free. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen, sister. The period after Luke's birth was so disorienting for Dwight and me. We had never been around a baby. I had done some babysitting, but never with babies or little ones. We went in to ask them how to change the diaper about three times. And just kind of acclimating to a whole new way of life, especially the sleep deprivation, which just did a number on me. I just felt depressed all the time. But the one thing we committed to was helping each other get to the gym a couple of times a week. And even when we had 2 hours of sleep or no sleep, even when we felt like we were going to die, it always helped us feel better to work out. So we tried to keep that commitment and to help each other in that way. And I remember one of my first times back to the gym after I'd gotten the green light from the doctor, I went in and they had the class listings for the day. And there was something called Total Body Conditioning with Ron. And it was starting in 10 minutes. And I thought, this would be good. This would be helpful. This would be accountability. You know, I usually do the same old boring two machines. So I'll take this class. Well, I showed up with some others, and Ron ended up being a 250-pound Marine. This is Northern Virginia. It's a big military area. The Pentagon is right there, Quantico, all of that. And Ron was intense. For 1 hour, Ron barked out orders, and we had to follow. We were pretty intimidated by him, and all with no music. And so it was painful. So he had us doing sit-ups. He had us climbing stairs. He had us doing push-ups. I have no upper arm strength. I was dying. And I remember after 5 minutes, probably three, my arms were burning, my calves were burning, my stomach muscles were burning. And it was only just for reasons of pride and fear of Ron that I stayed in the class. And I never before have I watched an hour, and never before has an hour gone by so slowly. It was like 60 minutes, 59 minutes, 55 minutes. But Ron was really serious about getting us in shape and having us ready to deploy at a minute's notice. I kid you not. And it was a really humiliating experience for me, very humbling. I thought I was in okay shape. I had exercised up until a week before Luke was born, but Total Body Conditioning with Ron exposed the reality. I was not fit. Today, our gospel tells the story of the period right after Jesus' baptism. And if you remember, Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has an incredibly prayerful, beautiful baptism. And I imagine it was just one of those powerful moments in his life, just a seminal moment of descending into the water and ascending and seeing the Holy Spirit come down and hearing God proclaim him the Beloved. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit sweeps him into the desert, otherwise known as the wilderness, and he fasts for 40 days and nights, and he is tested mightily during that period and afterward. And I don't know about you, but if I had to fast for 40 days, I would be incredibly crabby. And so I think about him at this period, defenses down, facing all these difficult tests. Now, I would actually call them tests rather than temptations. This wasn't like being presented with a big chocolate cake, but rather these are things, especially after the 40 days of fasting, the devil presents Jesus with things that aren't necessarily bad in themselves. But what the devil is trying to get at here, or the personification of evil or what is not of God, is where is Jesus's ultimate loyalty? Where does that lie? And I think for Jesus, he has just been pronounced God's beloved. And so what does that mean? What does that look like in daily life, in relationship to choices that he has to make? And I think those issues are going on. Jesus is sorting out what being God's beloved means for him. Now, the good news for Jesus, at least, was what you saw on the outside reflected what was on the inside. His beliefs and his actions were congruent. His faith wasn't just a set of intellectual propositions or something he talked about at the synagogue or with fellow Jews, but his beliefs informed his life. His life was a way of practicing his faith. And when he was tested here, Jesus stood strong. I think that his spiritual roots went incredibly deep because for years he had prayed. He had studied the scriptures. He had practiced his faith in very tangible ways. He was so steeped in the scriptures that here when he keeps quoting Deuteronomy, as the devil presents him with various tests, I don't think he's trying to out-proof text the devil, but I think the biblical narrative is so much a part of his life and his story. He is immersed in it. Now, Jesus's tests are things that most of us pursue or have trouble saying no to. Instant gratification, power and prestige, even spiritual prestige. And again, all these things that he's presented with aren't necessarily bad things. For whatever reasons, we humans have the tendency to rely on man-made and processed foods rather than spiritual food, to use power for our own ends, to want to know that God will do what we want, and we really want to show others how much God loves us. And I think for some of us, here Jesus is in a situation of hardship, but I think sometimes for some of us, prosperity is more conducive to spiritual temptation than hardship. Becoming a little too comfortable and not relying on God, not putting our entire trust in God. In these ways we can respond to these various tests or temptations, we are similar to our ancestors, the Israelites, who failed all three of the tests that Jesus faces in this gospel passage. Knowing this, knowing about Israel's failure when they were confronted with the same challenges, Luke portrays Jesus as the new Israel, who is able to place his heart, his mind, his soul, his strength in God, to rest in God, to be dependent on God, to not think that he can do everything on his own. Christian writer John Ortberg, discusses the important difference between training and trying in the spiritual life. Some of us think or have thought that becoming like Jesus involves just trying harder, trying to be more patient, more gentle, and usually trying like that results in failure. Trying to be like Jesus is like trying to run a marathon without training. But instead, As Christians, we are all called to a life of spiritual training, a life of practicing our faith, of finding ways or a way that is doable for us, a practice that speaks to us, that we can engage in regularly, daily, if possible. And hopefully, this spiritual practice that we commit to or may start to commit this Lent is not something to be dreaded, like very difficult exercises while someone is barking out orders and all with no music, but something that is delightful and energizing and life-giving to us. And what would that be? Would that be a new form of prayer? Would that be reading a passage of Scripture every day? Would that be just intentionally trying to share the peace with others in daily life, to commit again to giving or to receiving hospitality, to serving others? It's been my experience in the Episcopal Church that a lot of people I've known have decided to give up something for Lent, coffee or steak or alcohol. It's not a bad thing, but I'm not quite sure in the end what good comes of that. I wonder about committing instead to intentionality and to being receptive to God's grace wherever God's grace may manifest itself. But in that intentionality of trying to find a spiritual practice that speaks to us, that will stretch us, that is doable in our lives. And the importance of that is it will have so many ramifications. But one is that when tough times come, and they will, seasons of challenge, seasons of lament, times of struggle, that we will have the resources to survive. God will use that practice to help us have deep roots. And when I think about deep roots, I think about the tree in the book of Revelation that has incredibly deep roots, that is by a pool of water, and that is always bearing fruit. My prayer this first Sunday in Lent is that each of us will be so deeply rooted in God through years of faithful training, years of intentionally committing to a spiritual practice, of intentionally being open to God's grace in our lives, that when temptation or difficult challenges come, we will stand fast. Amen.